As far as the message this morning, this will be the first message in a summer series that I'm calling Glad You Asked. As you know, I invited you all to share your thoughts on what I should preach on this summer, and got a number of responses. Some of them were really exciting to me. Some of them I had some questions about. I'm going to try and work in a little bit. And we're going to just try and answer some of those questions throughout the summer. Some of them I'm putting off to another time because I don't think I can fit them in the summer. So we'll get back to those at some point. But one of the questions that was suggested by one of you was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, what should I do with my life? And I thought that was particularly appropriate as we recognize our graduates this Sunday. And so I want to address that question. This week I was searching through the scriptures for appropriate scriptures to answer that question. And because you don't just want to hear Pastor John's opinion, you want to hear what God has to say about this. But as I was reading and looking through scriptures and thinking through what I know of the Bible, I realized something. That this question, what should I do with my life, is mostly kind of really a foreign question to the culture of the Bible and most ancient cultures, actually many cultures today. In ancient cultures, about 97% of boys grew up to do exactly what their father did, whether it was farming or a trade of some sort. Women, though some did work outside the home, especially if they were single, women had even less choice than the men did in what they were going to do with their lives when they grew up. So, this question that we tend to think of as maybe one of the most important questions we could possibly answer in our lives was really not even on the radar of many people in biblical cultures. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't have anything to say about it, and we'll get to that. Now, in our culture, I do think we have an answer for this question. What should I do with my life? Follow your heart. I think that's generally what our culture would say. Follow your heart, follow your dreams, what have you. Now, I find that response to be less than helpful. In part because I think it's amazing how many people's hearts tell them that they are supposed to be famous singers. Don't you? And people's hearts lead them right to American Idol tryouts, and then they're told that they can't actually sing, and then we say, well, follow your heart somewhere else, right? And that could be said, you could say the same thing for athletes and astronauts and all kinds of things. It's funny how most of our hearts and our dreams tell us to do things that will make us famous or rich. That's why I don't necessarily find that answer, follow your heart, to be the most helpful starting point to answer this question. Now, Christians are supposed to live radically different lives than what we see being lived all around us. And I think that means that we ask questions in a different way, or at least we go about seeking answers to questions in very different ways than most of the people do around us. And what I want to suggest this morning, as we consider the question, what should I do with my life? That for followers of Jesus, our occupation is a kingdom thing. It is a kingdom of God thing. It is not, as the culture would tell you, just about personal fulfillment or paying the bills or any of these things. It is a kingdom decision that we are making when we decide what we're going to do with our lives. And this is not just about occupation. This is about the daily decisions we make. How do we make the decisions that we make on a daily basis about how we're going to live, what we're going to do, the kind of things we're going to pursue, what should I do with my life, is a kingdom question if we claim to know and follow Jesus. Now, this morning, what I want to bring to you is a passage that I think is very helpful in responding to this question and how to go about answering this question as Christians. And that was read from Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. As I was reflecting on this passage, I started to see it in a different way, and I want to present to you that process that I saw going on in Romans 12, and hopefully that you find this helpful as you ask the question, what should I do with my life? Romans 12, and I encourage you to get your Bibles out, because we're going to be going through this kind of verse by verse, actually phrase by phrase, even more than verse by verse. Romans 12, again, it's on page 922 in your Bibles. Romans 12 begins with an appeal. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. I urge you, in another translation, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now that's what Paul has spent the first 11 chapters of Romans describing, God's mercy. Our need for it, how Jesus is the fulfillment of God's mercy, how he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven by the mercy of God, how God, in God's mercy, he sent the Holy Spirit to be within us, how God's mercy gives us victory over sin and death, and how there's nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord through the mercy of God. So Paul has spent 11 chapters outlining God's mercy. And that is a good place, I think, for us to start. As we consider what should we do with our lives, the more important question, according to the gospel, is what has Jesus done with his life for us? So as Christians, that's where we begin. With what Jesus has done, with how he has shown us mercy, with the abundant gifts that he has given us, in view of God's mercy. And then he says, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or your spiritual act of worship. To present our bodies as living sacrifices. This is a picture of surrender to God. A sacrifice is a gift given. And so, God, you own this. This is yours. And that's what the New Testament tells us about what we do when we give our lives to God. It becomes his. God has bought us with the life of Jesus and says, you are mine now. You belong to me. And that's a good thing. He says, surrender yourselves to God. And when we do that, when we surrender ourselves to God, when we present to God our bodies, our lives as a living sacrifice, then the question, what should I do with my life, leads to the answer, I want to do what is best for God, for God's kingdom. It says, holy and acceptable. I want my life to bring a smile to God's face. I want to do things that bring God joy and fit his desires and passions. That's what happens when we surrender our lives to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Then he goes on, do not be conformed, or do not conform yourselves to the patterns of this world. Do not conform yourself to the patterns of this world. Now, we come to God. That's great. Except our minds and our bodies and our spirits are used to doing things a different way. We are used to thinking and feeling and doing things along one path, and those things need to be broken for us to truly live a life that is surrendered to God. So he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. We cannot arrive at God's destination for our lives by taking our path or by taking the world's path. He says there are things that need to be broken in your lives so that you can truly live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And he pairs that then with, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. One of my favorite lines in Scripture. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So when God breaks some of the patterns of this world that are in our lives, he then replaces them with kingdom patterns of thinking and feeling and doing. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is, I think, really important. As we ask, what should I do with my life? Whatever your occupation is, whatever it is, whatever you do with your life on a daily basis, wherever you go to work, whoever signs your paychecks, your vocation, your calling, is to be transformed into Christ's likeness. So whatever you do, your calling from God is to become more like Christ. So whether you choose your job, or whether you stumble upon your job, or whether you just do what you're supposed to do like in ancient cultures, do what your father did, the Bible says be transformed. Do it as Christ would do it. Who you are, what kind of person you are, is far more important than what kind of job you do. That is the first calling of the gospel. So that, Or that word could also be translated with the result that once we have done all this, surrendered to God, consider God's mercy, surrendered to God, had those patterns broken and then been transformed by the renewing of your mind, then the result will be that you may discern what the will of God is. Then you will be able to see what the will of God is. And you will be able to see that that will is good and acceptable and perfect. We can only truly see God's will once we have surrendered to Him. That's the process going on here. And Paul goes on. Not only do we need to then see God's will, but then we need to see ourselves as a part of a community. And this is really countercultural, I think. Because again, when we ask, what should I do with my life? We ask it in very individualistic ways. What do I want? And Paul says, no, look at yourself as a part of a community. Look at verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members of one another. He says, see yourselves as a part of this community. What you do with your life is not just about you and your bills and your fulfillment. It's about a community. How can I contribute to the good of the church? How can I contribute to the society? And he goes on to list all of these gifts that we've been given. He says, we have gifts that differ. There are lots of things that you can do, but he says, do them to contribute to the good of the church and to the good of the society. You have been given gifts and passions in your life. And those are not irrelevant to this question. What are the gifts you have? What are the passions you have? The key is to see how they will allow you to contribute to the good of others in love. Not just how can they get me the most money or the most happiness, quote unquote, that I think I want. This is the process that Paul gives us, I think, for decision making. It's kind of like a coin machine. You know the coin machines that sort out your coins? All of the coins go in the top, right? And then the machine sorts them out, nickels and pennies and dimes and quarters here and there. That's this process. God wants all of us to come and surrender our lives to Him, to seek Him, to give our lives over, to consider the mercies of God and say, I want to follow you, Jesus. That's everyone's call in life. And then once we do that, then God will start to sort us out into what our gifts are, into what our passions are, into how we can contribute holistically to the society. I think that's kind of a picture of the process that God is, or that Paul is laying out for us here. Now, as I was reflecting on this passage this week, and as I was reflecting on the question, what should I do with my life, I naturally started reflecting on my own call and how I came to the decision to be a pastor. And I get asked that question a lot. How did you, you know, what was that like? And so I wanted to share with you a little bit of it because this passage really helped me to understand that process a little bit more. When I was going into college, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I had a couple ideas. I was planning on going into law, probably. That was the thought in my head. I went to a liberal arts school, of course, to give me a little time to make that decision before I had to decide. But more important than the classes that I took my freshman year of college was what God started to do with my life, because I started getting involved in a Bible study with a group of guys, and we started digging into the scriptures. And God started to move in my life a little bit, and Jesus became like real to me. Like, I'd been involved in church my whole life, but Jesus became real to me that year. At the same time, I still had lots of patterns in my life that needed to be broken. Things I was used to doing, how I did relationships, how I thought about things, how I reacted when certain things happened. Those, I was still kind of walking along one path, and over on this other path, I kind of was seeing Jesus and kind of like, oh, okay. That looks like a nice path, but I still hadn't been there, gotten there yet. Until the fall of my sophomore year, later in the fall, at a weekly worship gathering of our campus ministry, there was a young lady a couple years older than us who was speaking about passion and vision, and I don't remember all the details about her talk, but I do remember that God encountered me there. And he moved my heart. And he broke me down. And he said, "You're not doing the things that I want you to do." And that was, you know, with my life and the paths I was pursuing in my life. He said, "That's not what I want for you in so many ways." And on that night, I was broken. And I was moved. And we sang a couple songs afterwards, and I couldn't even sing them because God had moved so richly in my heart. But that wasn't my call to pastoral ministry. That came a few more weeks. Probably in a few more weeks, God called me to pastoral ministry. But that night was the moment of surrender, where God said, "I have something better for you." And I said, "That's what I want. Whatever it is. You send me over to live in a hut in Africa and preach the gospel to people there, I'll do it. You want me to be a teacher? You want me to be a garbage collector? Whatever it is, whatever you want me to do is what I want to do." That was the fertile soil God needed to then, a few weeks later, call me into pastoral ministry. That's the process. I don't even remember the moment that I was called to pastoral ministry. I have no idea when that was or what that was like. What I do remember was the most important thing for me or for any of you was the moment of surrender. I said, "God, I want to do what you want me to do. I want you to use the gifts you've given me for your purposes, not mine." And this passage in Romans 12 this week really helped me to see that more clearly. That is the process. Surrender to God, and then you will be able to see and understand what God's will is. Now, this passage in Romans 12 was not written to high school or college graduates trying to figure out what they're going to do with their lives. It was written to followers of Jesus. And I think in that, it reframes the question for us. Because when you ask Jesus a question, you have to be on your toes. You know, we want a certain kind of answer, but Jesus doesn't usually give us the kind of answer we want. He takes us in a different direction. We want to know what occupation I should do with my life. And Jesus says, no. Here's where you start. Here's where you start. This is what God desires from you. What you do with your life is not about finding what makes you rich or famous or even what makes you your idea of happy. It is about seeking God and allowing Him to fulfill you and bring you joy. We often talk about making wise decisions. More often, the Bible talks about being wise people. And I think that's a really key difference. Wise people are people who make good decisions. And God wants us to become that as we seek Him and as He transforms us. We become the kind of person who does what God desires. So, I can't stand up here this morning and tell each of you what you should do with your life, whether you're graduating high school or college, or whether you're well into a career of some sort. I can't tell you what the next step is or what exactly you should do. But I can encourage you in how to go about making that decision. Make it not individualistically, make it relationally. Make it in relationship with God. Because it's God who made you, it's God who gifted you, it's God who's called you, it's God who's prepared a path for you, it's God who knows the plans that He has for you. So make the decision in relationship, in a surrendered relationship to God, saying, "You know me better than you know myself. You know what my purpose is. Help me to see your will." Make it relationally and make it communally. And I mean two things by that. First, again, asking, how do I contribute to the good of the society, to the good of this world? How am I contributing to the community? And secondly, seek counsel and guidance. Don't make it alone. Make it with a community. People who can pray for you and point out your gifts to you. Sometimes we don't even see our gifts and passions as well as someone else does. And we need someone else to say, "You know what? I think you're really gifted in this. I see you come alive when you do this." So make the decision in community, not just individually. This is the path to fulfillment as Jesus teaches us. Seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be given to you as well, like what you should do with your life occupationally. Seek first his kingdom. We seek to answer this question, what should I do with my life, by considering God's mercy, by surrendering to him in worship, by letting God break our patterns, by being transformed, by seeing how good and perfect God's will is, and then listening for how he's invited us to join in that. And I realize that I've given you a process this morning more than I've given you an answer. And I'm okay with that, because in a way, this is the answer to the question. What should I do with my life? Seek first the kingdom of God and let him give you every other answer that you need. Let's pray. God, as we ask the questions that come to us in our lives, our daily lives, what should we do? Lord, we ask that you would help us to trust you. To answer it. Lord, help us to let go of the things that we think we want to do. Help us to let go about the fears of doing what you want us to do. Help us to let go of those and see you in your mercy. And see you in your power. And see you in your wisdom. And see you in your sovereignty. Give us the strength to surrender to you. Help us to trust that you know the plans that you have for us, and they're good plans. Wherever we are this morning, help us to seek you first, to seek your kingdom, and to let you take care of the rest. Amen.